model GF, podcaster BF. And she says, what does that mean? And I just go, it's just, it's a compliment, but also a joke.
Yeah, I won't tolerate no Bruce Springsteen slander. Look, he since the 1980s, he hasn't done that much I've been super interested in. However, 1975's landmark album, Born to Run, top to bottom slappers. Born to Run, 10th Avenue Freakout, Hiding on the Back Streets, Hiding on the Back, Jungle Lands. Come on, man. Stop saying lightning and the thunder. You've gotten stuck in my head. I know that's what you were trying to do, and it worked. Yeah, Jungle Land is legit, man. If the Hold Steady released Jungle Land, like, you wouldn't be able to. It would be like the new All My Friends. Like, people wouldn't shut up about it for like a decade. But because it's Bruce Springsteen, people are like, you know, yeah, whatever, Grandpa. Anthony, thoughts? Mr. Fantano? You know what? I could send a tweet to him right now. He won't respond, but that's fine. Thunder Road. Look, I've never been a huge Thunder Road guy, but it is a great song. And also one of the all-time, like, side one track ones, right? 10th Avenue Freeze Out, such a banger. Dude, that's the thing. Like, it's got one of those things. I like when bands release, like, one song about being a band. It's got some fun stuff going on, like, and now the something and the thump, and the big man joined the band, and then the guy on the saxophone, like, he's like, that's my cue, and he goes like, it's good, man. He played Megalovania. Exactly. There's some good songs about being in the band that's singing the song that you're currently playing. Rock and Roll Band by Boston. It's not Boston's best song, but, you know, it's not skippable. This dude's off the maps. Off the map. Band on the Run? We don't speak about Band on the Run. Boston, most overrated band of all time. This is like an asinine take. More Than a Feeling is one of the best songs that's also so overplayed I may never want to hear it again. I'll give you that one. What was that? Okay, More Than a Feeling. Great song. Very overplayed. But 4Play Long Time, like, Apollo's right. That's one of the best rock songs in history. We can't... look, I know there's U2 fans in the chat. Trust me, I've been down this road many times in my life. I try to go to bat for U2. South Park did more damage to the reputation for U2 than you and I can rehabilitate, unfortunately. I wish people gave U2 the respect that I feel they deserved, but it's too late. South Park destroyed them somehow because Bono had the audacity to, like, try to help cure HIV, and people were like, wow, you must think you're, like, some kind of big shot. They're like, yeah, I know he's done a lot of great humanitarian work, but, like, he takes himself a little too seriously. Plus, they put their album on my iPhone without me giving them my permission. So, U2 is the same thing, right? Like, almost everything they've made since the mid-1990s is not particularly good, in my opinion. But they did enough in the 80s to make up for it. It's like the REM thing, right? Like, The Joshua Tree, great album. Pride in the Name of Love, great song. Like, they, even Mysterious Ways, you know, that whole, like, I forget what the album's called from the mid-90s. It's called Zoo or something. No, wait, it's called Octung Baby. Hello, hello, Daniel's chat. I'm not even going to ask you how you feel about Coldplay, because the DMCA memories are probably still fresh in Dan's mind. I'm not going to ask you how you feel about U2. Because I think I already know the answer. We can just move on instead. Most bands, though, because they're like, hey, you know, they got worse as they got older. Like, all bands got worse as they got older. If they lasted, well, okay, Radiohead is like the exception that proves the rule. But any band that has been popular for more than 20 years, they did not get better when they got closer to the end. The Strokes, come on, man. Everybody's still, they're leaving their lighters on for Is This It? You know, they're not leaving their lighters on for, you know, whatever that song that was on MLB The Show last year was. Swans? I said bands were popular, okay? I'm not trying to say they're not good. Nick Cave? Okay, I'll give you Nick Cave. I'll give you another exception there. Actually, the Beatles?
Yeah, but the Beatles weren't around for 20 years. The Beatles were only around for like 10 years. Here.
Also, the Beatles didn't get better and better. You know, their final album, Let It Be, was considered by far their weakest album of their prime. Although I will admit that Abbey Road was recorded after Let It Be, so there's a slight difference there, but still. Yeah, come on, Modest Mouse, you're going to make me cry. I've been using my YouTube Music subscription to listen to a lot of like 90s Modest Mouse, and I forgot. I was like, hey man, this band, like, I used to like them a lot. Good News for People Who Love Bad News is better than The Moon in Antarctica. I mean, that's just one of those takes that's designed in a hermetically sealed bad take laboratory to make as many people angry as possible. Like, I get it, you got a fondness for Float On, because it's like the first Modest Mouse song you ever heard. It's the first Modest Mouse song I ever heard, too. But I mean, like, we got to tackle this, like, from a good faith context, right? Like, that's all I got. My opinion on the Red Hot Chili Peppers has softened a little bit. I love them as a kid. You know, in sixth grade, we had to make a restaurant, like a fake restaurant menu in French class. I named my restaurant the Red Hot Chili Peppers because I was so into the album Californication. En français? I can't remember. But then, like, I don't know, around the release of Stadium Arcadium, I realized that I'm like pretty sure this band just keeps remaking like the same two songs over and over. In one of them, they go, oh, and then in the other one, yeah, and then in the other one, they play it a little bit more mellow. Dong, dong, dang, da, dang, dum, dong, dee, dong, dee, dong, dum, dum, bum, wow, dum. But I've come to, I think, terms with the fact that you mostly just listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers if you're trying to have some fun, you know? It's not a band that, for the most, not to say they don't have a thinker or two, but it's not the kind of band you turn on and you're like, you know, digging a hole, where is it dumb and there's some punk. It's a band you turn on and you go like, wow, listen to this guy rip the bass. Sloan is still good. Dude, Sloan, Underwhelmed might be like the least well-known Canadian 90s classic. They're a spring break band like Slint. Excuse me? Are you saying that they're the kind of band you could work through their entire discography over spring break? Because heavily debate that. Yeah, Slint only has like 6 songs, but they're all, well, like 2 of them are all-time classics. The rest are, you know, reasonably enjoyable if you're in the right mood. But it's the first time I've ever heard Slint and the Red Hot Chili Peppers compared. For spring break energy? Oh, okay, I'll give you that one. Red Hot Chili Peppers are like when you're going out having a fun time with your friends on spring break. And then Slint is like when your friends didn't invite you to go get ice cream with them. And you're like a little bit sad about it. I hear you on that one. Don ordered a salted caramel ice cream. Dong, 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 dong. Dong, dong, dong. We don't need to, like, I don't know if Dan's here. We don't need to talk about Weezer. It's like his favorite band of all time. I apologize to him that I constantly have to remind everybody that they haven't recorded anything good since the year 2001. Have I made, because this just popped into my head, just so happens to be the best song in the world. It was the best song in the world. I mean, you gotta try Nod Leaf just to hold it. But, have I done the bit yet where, like, the Weezer cycle is the same as the Sonic the Hedgehog cycle? Where, like, it just goes around. They're like, new Weezer came out. It sucks.
whoa, the new single from the next Weezer album came out. They're back, baby. It's the Blue. They're doing the Blue album again.
Then the whole album comes out and they're like, actually, it kind of sucks. And then like it just goes around in the cycle. Well, no, the Zelda cycle is similar, but then people fall in love with the Zelda that's one Zelda ago or two Zeldas ago, I guess. This is the Sonic cycle because the product remains maligned for the rest of its life. But also, for more university stories, like I had a roommate who just... I had a roommate in university. Well, like a housemate, I guess, but... He listened to like two songs over and over with no headphones. One of them was Afterlife by Avenged Sevenfold. And then that summer it came out on Rock Band 2 or 3. And he just played it for like hours and hours. I don't belong here, I gotta move on, escape from this afterlife. And then the other one was I Am the Greatest Man That Ever Lived by Weezer. Which also, I believe, coincidentally came out on Rock Band that very same summer. And he would always, like, make me play guitar on it while he sang it. And I was just like, I'm the baddest of the bad. I'm the best that you've ever... I do better... And I am the greatest man who ever lived. And I'm like, oh, this is just like... It's like a very Dr. Horrible sing-along blog sort of energy. It was back in the day where everybody wouldn't shut up about like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's surfaced some memories of mine. And I'm working through some trauma right now, I think. He's a nice guy, though. Don't get me wrong. So we're still friends to this day. I think he would find this bit humorous. It's the same guy. Dude, I feel bad now because I'm like, he's a really good guy. We do dunk on him a lot, though. It's the same guy that Mouth has a couple of stories about, that like he used the communal internet connection to download like a bunch of stuff on spring break that one time and then try to blame the other housemates. And then also is the same guy who used to, instead of making like... food every day, he just had a big like stainless steel bowl full of ground beef in the fridge, and he would take like two handfuls of it every day and make burgers out of it, even though the meat was like 2 weeks old. Based, it's like, I suppose it's a little based in some ways. Now, you know, as somebody who didn't have the financial interest there, like I didn't live in that house, it was nice to go to their house because, you know, whatever you wanted to watch, he always had it in like, you know, 4K. He'd be like, hey, do you want to watch like this 1990s cartoon in 4K? And I'm like, why not, man? How long ago was this? I don't know, like 2009. It's not that long ago. It's just 11 years. Oh, 12. Yeah, my bad. I was saying earlier today, in an Isaac episode I recorded today, I was like, I always like to recontextualize my age because I think it hits harder. The one thing I said recently was, you know, Iggy Azalea's Fancy is now as old as Aqua's Barbie Girl was when I went to my senior prom, which is kind of crazy. Because when I was in 12th grade, I was like, dude, that's like, Barbie Girl? That sounds like ancient, man. But like... Now Fancy is as ancient as that song was. Okay, this is a no. Hold on. So the new bit of contextualization that I had for my age is, this isn't going to make you feel that old probably, but it makes me feel pretty old. Like my favorite class that I taught in South Korea, they were born in the year 2000, which means they are now this year gonna be as old as I was, or maybe next year, they're gonna be as old as I was when I taught them English, which is crazy. Because I was 22 and 23. So I guess it will be next year, but still, like, that's crazy. Yeah, that's why, like, all these stories about teaching English in South Korea, you know, you gotta keep in mind contextually, I was still just a little kid myself. Hello. Hello. That's true. That did happen. Hello. Wee. Oh, there she goes. She's pogging. She's pogging. She's going crazy. She's hip. She's with it. It's Kate. Hello.
Soon, next month, it's our 7-year anniversary.
It is our 7th year anniversary. Also known as the happy anniversary, we lasted longer than Kim and Kanye.
And then in June, it's us being together for 9 years.
That's pretty crazy. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I was trying to make conversation, and I'm like, we got... All the conversations during COVID that Kate and I have now are basically like, our baby's really cute. And then the other person's like, yeah. And we just like, we just bandy that back and forth for like an hour. Man, our baby did this really cute thing today. Wow, that's cute. And we just trade baby cute stories.
It's true.
Like earlier today, she made a sound that was like, grrr. I was like, that's really cute.
I think you will enjoy the game that I played, Emily's Awake.
It's
all, it's the trip down to year 2008.
Oh, that's a long time ago now.
Yeah, 13 years.
13 years. On that, I'm going to play Rain on Your Parade today, Kate. You know that game?
No.
It's like a Hitman, but you play as a rain cloud. So you got to like ruin people's days by raining on them. Or like, maybe you would like, in some situations you don't just like rain on them, but you know, you could like rain on like a generator that causes them to lose electricity, and then their day is ruined and stuff like that. I'm excited to give it a try.
I love ruining non-existing fake human lives.
It's therapy. It's self-care, in my opinion. Yo, baby's eating some potatoes today. Let's go. That's a paternity test. Because if this baby doesn't like potatoes, there's going to be questions that need answering. Like, I'm not even worried that it's not my baby. I'm worried it's not a human baby. If you don't like potatoes, like, do you have the human genome? I don't like potatoes. Okay, but do you not enjoy the flavor/texture of potatoes? Or do you like the attention you get when you tell people that you don't like potatoes? You know what I mean? What's your favorite kind of potato? That's a tough question. You can do some like ranked choice in this for sure. Like, for example, the worst kind of potato is definitely just boiled. Like boiled potatoes served on the plate with maybe like a little salt and butter. Not so much. Okay, raw is worse. Yes, okay. Or like with poison sprayed on top of it. But after that, it gets a little touchier. Who doesn't love like the rest of the varieties? I would say next is like just baked. Not baked potato, I should say, but like, you know, just cooked in an oven for like, you know, chopped and then cooked in an oven for 25 minutes. I would rather have them mashed. I would rather have them fried or smashed. I would rather have them baked in some aluminum foil, maybe, and then you pierce them with the fork on the top and line it like a jacket potato or something. It's tough, though. Like, it's a tough question. I couldn't even answer, like, what the best kind of, like, French fry is. I'm still dealing with it in my head. I really like a curly. But if you take the zest from a curly and then you put it onto a wedge, I think that's the best. But even then, you end up with some, like, some wedges that are overcooked, some wedges that are undercooked, and you know, it's touchy, man. It's touchy. It's a difficult question. The important thing is they bring us together. I finally had some tornado potato. You guys had any of those? I thought it was going to be a meme. I had one a couple of years ago when I was in my hometown. It's basically like it's a potato that's like it's all sliced up like on a spinner and then put on a stick. It looks like Hannibal Lecter dissected a potato and then served it to you to eat, is I guess the way I would describe it. Yeah, there you go, like a 360-degree Hasselback potato. I had one in my hometown at a restaurant and I was like, this is not that good. And then I had one at a food truck in Vancouver, and I was like, actually, this is fantastic. This is, I mean, it was also like $7.50, which is pretty expensive for, you know, when you consider that you're buying a potato, which is like 40 cents. But it at least it was cut in a wacky shape that helps to dampen the sticker shock. And then, like, I you know, there's not like another $6 built in of value because they let you choose the seasoning. And I was like, dill pickle. And I was like, that was worth it, man. That was worth it. Do you still only buy single potatoes at the grocery store? It's like another take that I always feel like I'm realizing now that much like American politics, there's like a real urban versus rural divide in chat. A lot of the things that chat thinks is normal that I think is insane is due to the differences in the way things work between cities and like towns. And a lot of the things that I think are normal that chat thinks is insane is due to the difference between the way things work in the city and the way things work in the country as well. Like, I could, you know, if I'm reading the newspaper or something like that, and I'm like, look, honey, there's a house on sale. It's only $1.6 million. You know, my wife is going to say, really? What's wrong with it? That's going to be our first reaction. And if you lived in the country, you would be like, how many acres of arable farmland does that come with? But then the same thing, like, with the grocery store, like, you know, when the grocery stores are, like, close, when it's not much of a trip, I like to go to the grocery store more often, and I buy, you know, the foods that I need for that individual day or two, and then, you know, when I run out of stuff, I'll go back again. Thoughts on long sleeves plus shorts? That's, for me, I don't know what Chet Hayes would say. That's my outfit of this season right now. Like, heavy on top and comfy on the bottom. That's been my vibe on the baby walks. I'm also, you know, I'm thinking that maybe it's the right time in my life. I'm embracing comfort more than ever before. I'm wearing sandals more often. Although, I'll be honest, if I'm going for a long walk, I find shoes more comfortable. But around, like, if I'm just outside of the house for a little bit, the sandals are nice. Taking the garbage out, for example. But I think I might even graduate to having one sleeveless hoodie in my wardrobe. I don't know if I have that kind of like European vibe, but I'm willing to give it a try, I think. I'm willing to cut the sleeves off of a hoodie and see how sleeveless hoodie plus shorts works. I'm gonna have to shave my triceps though. It's gonna be a whole thing. I have one and my girlfriend hates me for it. Oh, okay, well. But it's about the dad energy. It's not about what your girlfriend feels about it. It's your dad energy. That's an F-boy outfit? I thought it was like a dad. Yeah, Bill Belichick drip. I thought it was Bill Belichick's outfit. I moved to Milan and I don't fit in at all. Everybody's so fashionable and I don't understand fashion. I hear you, honestly. Like, I mean, Milan obviously is got to be on like another level. There's a lot of very, you know, well-dressed people in Vancouver, though. A lot of people, you know, there's some slacker energy, but even with the slacker energy from the PNW, they also are like, you know, there's people that are really bringing their A game to the fashion department at all times, and I'm just walking around with, like, streamer merch. I did do Delirium. Oh, dude. Let's go. Sir? Do you want me to run the Treasury or the State Department? Let's go. Sorry, I can't get it. Living moments that live rent-free. Like seven of them are Lin-Manuel Miranda. Call me son one more time. That's more like Mickey Mouse, but him biting his lip. Clearly middle-aged Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. That would be a great video. Moments that live rent-free in my head. Moments that really butter my biscuit. Gordon Ramsay loses his mind at chef's explanation of fresh frozen. Is there anything here that isn't deep fried? The salad. The salad? Are you taking the piss? Chicken and banana. Sorry. Dude, here's a game for you. What's one of the things that you saw on Kitchen Nightmares that Gordon Ramsay was flabbergasted by? that actually looked pretty delicious. I'll start. He goes off on that grilled Caesar salad where they put the lettuce on the grill and give it some, like, char marks. I honestly thought that I've seen that clip like 10 times. I think it looks pretty good. I got nothing against that salad. I'm glad to see a lot of people in chat, without colluding, were like, the salad didn't look that bad. I think he was, okay, it was dirty because he didn't chop the bottom of the lettuce off, but still. Apart from that, I was like, dude, if I didn't know that it was dirty, which I wouldn't if I ordered it, for sure, I would probably eat it. In fact, I would probably enjoy it. He showed it to the whole restaurant. It's bullying, man. No one's going to be like, actually, Gordon, it's pretty tasty. Everyone's like, Gordon made fun of it. Everybody laugh. Ha, huh? We want Gordon to love us. Ha ha. Anyway, I like Gordon Ramsay. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying I thought the salad was like, it wasn't that bad. I was not aghast at the quality of the salad. There's probably more. I do see some people saying the greasy pizza from that one episode. I kind of disagree with that. You're welcome to. Don't get me wrong. But that pizza in Denver that was like the largest, greasiest pizza in history, I did look at that and go like, that looks a little gross to me. But if it's the sort of thing that you're, I mean, it's, I just yesterday I was saying like, I got no problem with Pizza Hut, and that's kind of like Pizza Hut's raison d'etre. So I can't really front, I guess. Not the deep dish one? Oh, okay, different one then. I mean, I don't think I've ever once... Well, this is the kind of thing you got to be careful about saying on stream where people can, like, verify every word you've ever said in your entire life. But I don't know if I've ever once been like, look at how much grease is on this food. I think instead of saying that, I go like, whoa, geez, this is really tasty. I think... wonder what their secret recipe is. Olive oil. How about that? There we go. Now I feel like I'm the right height again. I had to raise my chair so that I could feel taller in front of strangers, and now I'm like, now I'm back in my place. Did you see that tweet that Justin made about his camera angle where he was like, this is how I'm going to stream from now on, and it was him like framed so that it looked like he was a god looking down? I tried to do like... I tried to hold my camera up and do like a selfie that made it look like I was super tiny, but I couldn't quite get it to work, unfortunately. And also, it just looked like embarrassing. I was disappointed with myself. I was like, you're too old to be posting this kind of stuff. So I will say as well, remember last week, I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go to that Happy Gilmore house. The house that Happy Gilmore, or the apartment that Happy Gilmore lived in the 1995 movie Happy Gilmore, and I'm going to take a photo that's like me going to making my monthly pilgrimage to Vancouver's most important landmark, the Happy Gilmore apartment building. Went way out of my way to do it, by the way. Got there yesterday, and then I was going to post a selfie, but then there was just like a lady on a bench hanging outside of the building. And I was just like, I just couldn't muster the confidence to just go take a selfie. Because, like, I just had a 100% odds, like, she was going to be like, hey, what are you doing there? And I'm going to have to explain, like, you know, like, you know, you ever see the movie Happy Gilmore? I felt like she lived there and I was going to cause, like, a whole crisis for her and stuff like that. But anyway, so... I don't know if that tweet's ever going to come to pass. Probably not. But I was there. If it brings a smile on your face, just to know that I was there, man. I can't prove it, but I was there. Okay, that's too many items. Have you seen Bad Trip? Yes. In fact, it's like the most recent thing I actually watched deliberately on Netflix. And I also want to point out, a lot of people were talking smack, and now you don't have your finger on the pulse of the nation anymore. What was I saying a week ago? I was saying, like, I feel like we're kind of past peak Netflix. Netflix did its quarterly financial report yesterday. All I'm going to say is that their new subscriptions were 50% lower than they projected. And they cited that there was... Oh, Farticus, thank you. Much appreciated. Dodged, by the way, but thank you. They cited increasing, well, COVID-19 delays for, like, their prestige content, which makes sense, and nobody can really fault them for, but also increasing competition from other services, particularly Disney and HBO Max. I'm just saying. And now, of course, everybody in chat is like, nobody was saying, like, we doubt that. Everybody was saying, you're absolutely right. You can go back, man. You can go back and look. People were like, Disney Plus will never... They will never release a Falcon and the Winter Soldier series. And then man spitting out serial.jpg. Anyway, that's all I got. I felt like, for some reason, I know Netflix, man. Remember there was like a couple of months ago, I was like, I bet they have 200 million active subscribers. And then they were like, yeah, we got around 200 million active subscribers. I was like, I'm so smart. And then I was like, your business is ruined. And they're like, guess what? You're right again. And I'm like, what? Dude, I should work for like a Netflix competitor. I guess I technically do now that I think about it. In so many ways. It's like when they were smack talking the Amazon game studio, I was like, yo, I'm not saying I disagree with you, but hey, let's just toe the line here. Let's lick the boot a little bit, you know? We got a good thing going here. Did Amazon ask you to say that the Netflix catalog is trash? No, I'm a free agent. I'm an independent consultant for tax purposes. That means I can say how I feel. I just don't want the parent company of Twitch to go out of business. That would be bad for me, I think. But I've said many anti-Amazon things. Like, for example, Amazon Prime is the third best video on demand platform out there right now. If you like Forensic Files or the real Unsolved Mysteries, then it's number one. What's first and second? Don't make me do this, okay? Because, you know, you can't even... Don't make me do it. It's Disney right now. Just for now, I'm not saying for life, but for the time being, Disney Plus is the better service. It's the more... Not universally, but for me personally, there's more shows and movies I want to watch on Disney Plus right now than any other platform. If you want to watch the guy who produced Everybody Loves Raymond eating shakshuka in Algeria, then Netflix is the platform for you. If you want to watch, you know, high budget original programming, then, you know where you got to go. You got to go with the mouse for now. I actually like Somebody Feed Phil. I'm not trying to rain on the Somebody Feed Phil parade, but... HBO Max, there's some interesting stuff. I mean, I got nothing against HBO. Team Melt will return in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It won't return today. It will return at some point. We got so much stuff to unlock. You gotta trust the pilot, chat. This is like my favorite meme from the Repentance era. I've been doing this a long time. I'm trying to think of, like, there's some examples where, like, we played a game, like, on the NLSS, for example, and then, like, we meant to play it for an hour. We had so much fun. We played it for 2 hours. And everyone's like, this is the greatest thing they ever played on the NLSS. Nothing has ever been greater than that. And then we play it one more time, and people are like, actually, like, it's kind of a snooze now. I think they overplayed it, and now it's like... It's not as enjoyable as it once was. That's what we gotta worry about with Team Melt, you know? We gotta divvy out the Team Melt bit by bit. We gotta store some in reserve so that when we need an emergency POG injection, we can just drop it in there. The cardinal sin would be if we... Whatever. would be if we Team Melted so much that nobody ever asked for it. I would rather have people ask for it for a long time because they're like, they actually enjoy it, than have people like burn out on it and never want to see it again. That's my belief. Trust the pilot. You're welcome to co-pilot, but trust the pilot. Don't even get me started on Will You Play London 2012 ever again? I'm just waiting for the I think I understand how fans of JRPGs feel. Like, the game exists. Tokyo 2020 Summer Olympic Games game exists. It's out in the Asia Pacific region. The game exists. All I want is for you to actually like release it in North America, but they keep delaying it to not put it out until the Olympics actually happen, which makes sense for marketing, don't get me wrong, but on the other hand is like really annoying because I'm like, it freaking exists, man. Just let me look. No discerning customer is gonna buy this game to begin with. It's only gonna be like fools like me and like 8-year-old kids. Just let us get some access to it, man. Yeah, that's why I'm that's where I've got the I've got an overlap with like JRPG fans, man. We're in the same boat. You're like, the game exists, just release it. And they're like, okay, we're gonna release it, but we're gonna reduce the bust size of the main character. And they're like, not like this! Not like this! I didn't know what I was asking for. I just consider myself anti-censorship in any content. Okay, anyway, hold on. Let's get toasted, man. Get toasted. When are we going to get a funky variety stream? Hey, I did turn on Funk Champ, by the way. Funky Kong DM'd me and said, hey, is there like any of these emotes you might be interested in adding to better Twitch TV? And I was like, you know what? These are all pretty good, but Funk Champ reigns supreme for me. So you can go ahead, and you can type Funk Champ at your leisure. If you're interested in that kind of thing, more power to you. I'll admit, by the way, this is Boomer Challenge. And all I mean by that is that I'm doing the thing where I'm like, I refuse to alter my play style at all. And I'm like, I don't know if I really dig this challenge. But in my defense, you know, I'm old, I guess. I guess that's my defense on that one. There's many other funky emotes, by the way. One of them was, there's like jorts, but it's Munka S. I don't remember what the, I didn't turn it on, but it's called like Jorta S or something like that. It's pretty sweet. A lot of love went into those. I've already seen them on Twitter, like a real funky fan. More power to you. It's a great emote. Plus, like, I gotta be honest, I know there was, you know, obviously the drama surrounding PogChamp. I got nothing wrong with new PogChamp, aka Komodo Hype, but it just, like, it doesn't get me in the same way. You know, I'm not, like, against it, but I'm like, it just doesn't release the same chemicals through my brain. So maybe Funk Champ can be, like, the people's champion, the people's Pog champion. It doesn't hit the, yeah, it's like, it, you know, I think it's like a new Coke type thing, you know? Just, I wish that it elucidated the same feeling of Pog, but it just doesn't for me, and it is what it is, you know? It's a, you gotta do what you gotta do, but come on, man, I don't want to be here. Let me out. There is, is it Pog Baby on the Discord is pretty good? That's the Isaac, but doing the Pog face.